الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال تعالى في مقام آخر لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من نفسه وولده ووالده والناس أجمعين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept various different forces within this human being. Some are the physical forces, the strength, the ability that a person has in his physical self, but that is very limited. And then there are certain abilities, certain strengths, certain forces that are within the person, in his heart. And among these forces, one of the greatest things, greatest force within a person, is the force of muhabbat, which sometimes makes the impossible, apparently impossible, possible, makes the unimaginable imaginable, and makes it a reality also. But this muhabbat is sometimes channeled in the wrong direction, then it does the same thing in the negative sense. That what was unimaginable in the negative sense, that becomes suddenly reality. What seemed impossible on the negative side of things, that becomes suddenly possible. The person is caught up in the wrong muhabbat. Then anybody and everybody can say anything, but that is it. Somebody says to him, but by this is something going to harm your deen and dunya, everything will get destroyed. I know what I'm doing. See through my eyes, then you'll see the same thing. But that has taken hold of him, nobody and nothing will come in his way. That is the force of muhabbat. So if this muhabbat in the wrong direction can take a person to such an extreme that his parents then mean nothing to him, the whole of society mean nothing to him, the Ahlullah of the time can mean nothing, thus that has taken hold of him. If this muhabbat comes in the right direction, then to what height it will take a person. And therefore, we find that one of the most fundamental things for this insan is muhabbat. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also taught us to ask for this muhabbat. And the first thing is the muhabbat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a very concise dua, a lengthy dua, but the one portion of it which pertains to what we are discussing starts off with, just for the benefit of the dua itself, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat. Oh Allah, I ask of you to enable me to do all the righteous actions. Wa tarkal munkarat. And enable me to give up all the evil actions. وَحُبَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ and enable me to love the poor. Because if a person will love the poor, then he will have compassion for them. Then he will have humility also. Because that will now enable him to be part of the poor. Otherwise, if the person has no love for the poor, he will be wanting to stay away from them. So this will bring humility also. وَأَنْ تَغْفِرَ لِي وَتَرْحَمَنِي and O Allah, You forgive me, I ask you to forgive me and have mercy upon me. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. Wallah, if you intend to bring a calamity, some kind of test upon a people, Ya Allah, take me away before the test in a condition that I am not involved in any calamity, of any fitna. And thereafter, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us what relates to the topic. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. O Allah, I ask for your love. And this love is so important. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. O Allah, grant me the love of those who love you. Allah, grant me your love. That is the main thing, that's the essence of it all. But together with that, the dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us, وَحُبَّ مَن يُحِبُّكُ. O Allah, grant me the love of those who love you. And who loved Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala more than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And by extension, all those in every era who are the true lovers of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They are asking for their love, because their love will take us to the love of Allah Ta'ala. Because when a person loves somebody, he follows that person. Now this person is a lover of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so he'll be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. The person who loves him will follow him, he'll also reach Allah Ta'ala. وَحُبَّ عَمَلِي يُبَلِّغُنِي حُبَّكُ. O Allah, grant me the love of those actions that will make me reach you and reach to your love. And then further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْ حُبَّكَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِن نَفْسِي وَأَهْلِي وَمِنَ الْمَاءِ الْبَارِدِ. O Allah, make your love more beloved to me than myself, than my family, and then cold water on a hot day. We perhaps may not appreciate this, but in a very hot place where there isn't the facilities we have, that a person opens a fridge and takes the cold water when he wants, or just gets the water out of a cooler. But on a hot day where these facilities are not available, and then somebody presents cold water to somebody, how that Alhamdulillah comes out from his heart. Ya Allah, make your love more beloved to me than that desire of that cold water on a hot day. So the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the greatest thing. This comes, everything else falls into place. And then Allah Ta'ala uses that very same link, because this is the greatest force. If this force comes in, then it will propel a person. So Allah Ta'ala now calls out to us using this very same issue. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, you declare unto them, say unto them, تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you claim to love Allah, then there has to be some kind of evidence for this claim. And the evidence to the claim is فَاتَّبِعُونِ, that then you must follow me. And if you follow me, follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will love you, Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins. So we find that this is the crux of it all, that the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has to be deep down in our hearts, which will bring the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a result, the ita'at and the following and obedience of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this will take us to the right path and take us to the road of Jannat. The Sahaba understood this very clearly. They understood this 100%. And therefore we find that this force of muhabbat, it took them to show those kinds of, undertake those kind of feats which humanly it is impossible to think about. But they did it and showed us. The incidents are very well known, we have heard them over and over again, and we should be repeating them over and over again. Find that as far as the discussion of the beloved personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, there is no specific time and place for a specific discussion. The Sahaba, you will not find in their lives any particular occasion where they gathered specifically to discuss the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life for that moment in time. This was an ongoing thing. It was a daily thing. And they would daily be discussing something or the other about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he do? What did he say? How did he do certain thing? What did he teach on a certain occasion? And they were constantly discussing and asking one another and teaching one another this. But because we have now slipped up so far, from time to time we need to remind ourselves that what is our duty towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and what is required of us in terms of obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first thing is to know who our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. We know much about other things, but about our beloved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there is no personality, no person on the face of this earth, whoever came on the face of this earth, whose life has been recorded and preserved to that detail, that the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been preserved. Every minute detail about his Mubarak life is authentically preserved for us. So that nobody will ever have an excuse, I don't know who the personality is. Whether it is the type, what kind of hair he had, or what kind of shoes he wore, the description of his eyebrows, and the description of to what length was his lower garment. What was the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his Mubarak face, how did it shine? To every other detail, Hazrat Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that kharajtu fi laylatil udhiyan, I once came out on a moonlit night, and there I see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing outside. فَجَعَلْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَى الْقَمَرِ, I would sometimes look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and sometimes look at the moon. And I did this couple of times, eventually I too. Now, my heart gave testimony, فَلَهُ وَأَحْسَنُ عِنِّي مِنَ الْقَمَرِ, indeed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more handsome than the moon also. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, وَمَا مَسِسْتُ دِبَاجًا وَلَا حَرِيرًا أَلْيَنَ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, I have never touched any silk which was more softer than the palm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا شَمِنْتُ رَائِحَةً أَطْيَبَ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, I have never smelt any fragrance which was more sweeter in its, more sweeter than the natural fragrance of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Than his perspiration. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala says that once I was trying to thread a needle, but it was very dimly lit, the light was insufficient for the candle, or extinguished or something at that moment, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked into that room. And in the glow of his nur, I'd managed to thread that needle. Physically also Allah Ta'ala gave him kamal and perfection. Because of Hassan radiallahu anhu says, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ كَأَنَّكَ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. That more beautiful than you, no eye has seen. More handsome than you, no woman has ever given birth to. You have been created free from every blemish and defect. As if you were created how you desired. How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walk? Authentically recorded for us. كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ سَبَبٍ وَإِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّعَ. When he walked, he picked up his feet, popping over up from the ground. He didn't drag his feet. It appeared as if he was walking in a downward incline. This was out of the humility with which he walked. That though he was walking on a flat surface, it appeared as if he was walking on a downward incline with the humility that he walked. وَإِذَا الْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا, if somebody had to call him from the right or the left, out of his humility, he would turn entirely. He wouldn't just merely turn his head to see what's going on, who's calling me. No, he turned completely. وَإِذَا أَشَارَ أَشَارَ بِكَفِّهِ, if he had to gesture, it wasn't just by the indication of some finger, he gestured with his entire palm. Every detail about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recorded. What excuse can there be then for anybody to say I didn't know who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. Apart from saying that I didn't try to know. So whether it was his physical self, regarding that everything is recorded and authentically preserved, whether about his actions, all preserved, his statements preserved, everything has been recorded for us and preserved for us. Now the whole, everything lies on us to now take this and bring it into our lives and pass it on to others. Therefore Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That indeed, the Nabi of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is an uswatun hasana. What is uswa? Uswa is something that is meant to be followed. Like an architect draws a plan. And you do the plan. Now the person wants to build a house. He has to follow the plan millimeter to millimeter. He decides to do his own thing. The plan says this must be this length. He says, well, add a few more centimeters, what difference it makes? Then now suddenly the roof is not high enough. Now the roof starts leaking because he did his own thing. Now the windows are not fitting, or the walls are cracking, because he decided to do his own thing. He didn't follow the plan. Allah's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the plan of our life. His life is the plan of our life. And Allah Ta'ala says this, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So total obedience to the Mubarak lifestyle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba, we find that this was in their lives. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he is in Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him on the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was prevented from coming to Makkah Mukarramah. He had come for Umrah. The Quraysh prevented him from coming. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an to go and negotiate with the Quraysh. The next morning he stays the night with his cousin. The next morning he's leaving now to go and negotiate with the Quraysh. So his cousin says to him that, look, you are going to negotiate with these people, these big people. So they mustn't happen that they look down upon you. Otherwise the whole negotiation will get scuttled. See, they wear their garments way below their ankles. Yours is very high up. It's by your shin. So you should also lower your garment so that they don't look down upon you. You don't look out of place. But Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, in front of him, normally they say when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But the Sahaba learned something, that whether you are in Rome or whether you are at home, you only do what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught. So his immediate response was, La hakaza izratu sahibina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, never. This is how is the izar and the lower garment of our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That it is way above the ankle, this is how I'll keep mine. What others do, that doesn't influence me. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches, that is what influences me. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he's standing at the doorway outside the masjid. And there are others who had just come in and they were standing still, hadn't seated themselves. So addressing those who were inside, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sit down. Because people were still standing and he meant them to sit down. So those who were already inside, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, sit down. But this came into the ears of Abdullah bin Mas'ud Allah, who was outside. So he sat down there and there. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, he called him in. But no, this wasn't meant for you, this was meant for those who were inside. So the response was that I also thought so. But when the words of Allah's Nabi came that sit, it was impossible for Abdullah bin Mas'ud to take one step forward. Then he had to sit also, wherever he was. Because Allah's Nabi said sit. But this was the jazbah and the zeal of obedience in the life of the Sahaba. That what Allah's Nabi has taught, that is it. So this is that uswatun hasana, the life of Nabi, which we are meant to follow as well. When we talk about this uswa, firstly, just to complete this ayat, what Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. What this ayat conveys is that that person will truly take unto this uswa. That person will take this wholeheartedly, who has three qualities in him. And what is meant is to develop these three qualities. To the extent we will develop these three qualities, this uswa will become beloved to us, and we want to prefer it over anything and everything else. One is لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Number two. The crux of which is Iman in Allah, Iman. That to the extent that there will be the strength of Iman, to that extent there will be the preference of the uswa of Rasulullah SAW. And to the extent that there will be weakness of Iman, to that extent there will be preference of the ways of others over the lifestyle of the Nisab. So that strength of Iman is required. Because that will make up, that is the light. When a person doesn't have light, he can't distinguish where's the snake and where's the stick. He then holds a snake and he thinks he's picking up a stick, which will benefit him. Meanwhile, he's touching what will harm him. So the light is a light of Iman. And how will this light of Iman shine? That requires its effort. And together with that effort on Iman, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Person excessively remembers Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Then this will make the uswa of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam beloved to him. So the strength of Iman together with the constant remembrance of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, this will now make that uswa beloved to him. He will take it wholeheartedly. So when we talk of this uswa, the sunnah, often our minds go only to the external aspect. Indeed, this too is a fundamental part of the uswa. For one moment we should not underestimate this. So, this is something which we will come to just now. But there's another part of the uswa also. And the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is the inner part of it. The sunnah which pertains to the inner self, which is often overlooked. For example, just to take some examples, part of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself describes. He addresses Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says to him, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son. Just branching off before this, we're talking about Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Part of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his akhlaq, his character. What kind of character he displayed? We, alhamdulillah, sometimes take the effort to bring some sunnahs in our lives. And every sunnah, we can never imagine the extent of benefit it brings to us. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Follow me, Allah Ta'ala will love you. A person should have this yaqeen that if I entered the toilet in the sunnah manner, with my left foot first, having already read the dua before entering the toilet, with my head covered, and fulfilling the adab that had been taught in this regard. And then I came out again in the manner that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught. Then I must have that full yaqeen, yuhbibkumullah. I have come one step closer to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Because this is the promise of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran. Fattabi'uni, follow my way of life, yuhbibkumullah. Allah will love you. So I have achieved some degree of the love of Allah Ta'ala. If I have made wudu in the sunnah manner, conscious of how I am performing my wudu, and I'm fulfilling the sunnahs of wudu, I must have that yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala's love is being received. If I'm doing any aspect in the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, this is a guaranteed way of gaining the love of Allah Ta'ala. It's not something to be done and just regard as well one of those things. No. Is this anything less that a person has fulfilled a sunnah, he has received the love of Allah Ta'ala? يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And he will receive the maghfirat from Allah Ta'ala also. So nevertheless, we are talking about the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This too is part of his sunnah. So the Anas radiallahu anhu says, he was brought by his mother into the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was a child. He was only 10 years old. And his mother said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make him your khadim, your servant. So he says, I then stayed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for 10 years. For 10 long years, وما قال لي أف قط. In the 10 long years, once also he didn't say to me أف. With a servant, and servant who make mistakes, once also he didn't say to me أف. And never did he in the 10 long years say to me, if I did something, meaning which I wasn't supposed to have done, but why did you do this? I did some work wrongly or whatever, misplaced something, or perhaps did something in a way which probably spoiled it, whatever it was. He never asked me why you did it like this. Or if I was supposed to have fulfilled some task, some khidmat I was asked to do, and I didn't do it, he never asked me why you didn't do it. He once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent me on one errand. I went on the errand, and on the way I see some other children playing, so I got involved in watching what they are playing. He was a child still. After some time he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes along, and he sees me standing there, because so long I've gone, I still haven't returned. So he looks at me and says, I'm sure you are going to fulfill the task still. So he says, I say, yes, I'm going to fulfill it, and I did. In 10 years, he never said, "Uff." The akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This akhlaq is such a great sunnah. Today, what is our akhlaq? Where we find that those kind of heart-rendering incidents, where somebody, his wife gave him tea late, and he got 5 minutes late for a meeting, so he gave her 3 talaqs. We're not talking about years ago, we're talking about fresh incidents. This is akhlaq. Whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the akhlaq with his wives, this is the ittiba that we have to be bringing into our lives. Where Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself says that khayrukum khayrukum li nisa'ihim, the best among you is the one who is best to his wives. Wa ana khayrukum li nisa'i, and among everybody I am the best to my wives. Khiyarukum ahasinukum akhlaqan, the best among you is the one who has the best akhlaq, the best character. This is the ittiba. So nevertheless, we are talking about the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the inner sunnahs. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says to him, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. O my beloved son, that make sure you do this. This is the sum total of it. This is what is being referred to. That make sure you do this. That whether you start the morning or whether you terminate the evening, you're starting the night, do it in such a way that your heart is clean of malice for anybody. You have no dirt in your heart for anybody. Why? فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي, because that is part of my sunnah. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And on this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the one who will love my sunnah will be with me in Jannah. Now, to eat in the proper sunnah manner, that is also sunnah. That also earns great reward. And to sleep in the sunnah manner is also sunnah. And that too earns great reward. And to enter the masjid in the sunnah manner is also sunnah. And that also earns great reward. And likewise, all the other day-to-day things we do. But this is also part of the day-to-day things. That our heart is always clean. Insan is insan. Sometimes the wife will say something, and sometimes, because as it is, as one person says, that as far as average human being is concerned, says that the average human being in a day, he speaks about 25,000 words. Average human being, Allahu alam where they did the statistics, but he says the average human being in a day, he speaks about 25,000 words. And he says generally, most men when they come home, by the time they reach home, they've already spoken about 24,950. And the wife has only spoken 58 for the day. So she's still got 24,950 left. Now in that process, what happens after that, then Allah knows best. So, as one child, the inspector of the school came in and he decided to ask this child a question. So he said that why do you call it mother tongue? Whereas father also speaks the same language. What's the reason they call it mother tongue? So a small child, so he thought about it a little bit and said, actually what is the reason is that my mother speaks so much that my father doesn't get a chance to speak. I said they call it mother tongue. So nevertheless, that is on the sideline. The issue is that we are talking about that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us akhlaq. That this is the type of akhlaq he taught. This is part of the sunnah. That the heart be completely clean with regards to everyone. Kullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This can be given the title of sunnah. Those attributes of iman, for instance, the attribute of haya, of modesty and shame, regarding which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-haya'u minal iman. Haya is from iman, it stems from iman. Without iman, there's no haya. Without iman, haya can't come, and if there's no haya left, iman will go away. Inna al-haya'a wal-imana qurana'u jami'a. Idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhar. That iman and haya, they coexist. One goes, the other will go. Both exist together. What was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam haya? كان أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had more haya than, a loose translation of this would be, than a bride on her first night. More haya he had. Now this is what the uswa of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to now put ourselves on this plan and see where we fit. What is the level of our haya? The haya of our families, the haya of our sisters and mothers and daughters, in terms of the biggest expression of what is the level of haya, generally the biggest expression of this is in clothing and dressing. What is the level of haya in the type of dressing that is being adopted? Is it a completely immodest dress that the West has put forward, or is it that haya which Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she displayed? That haya Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha displayed, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen displayed, the Sahabiyat displayed, which was the haya that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the Ummah. So this is also part of the Sunnah, Sunnahs of inside, bringing haya into our lives. The Sunnah of simplicity, al-bazazatu min al-Iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that verily, إِنَّ الْبَزَازَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Simplicity is a part of iman. This too is a part of the life of the Nabi. In this time and age, the Ahlullah say that to ask us to come down to simplicity is perhaps asking too much. But at least we have to start thinking of now staying where we are and not aspiring to continuously see what others have and try to acquire the same. But wherever we are in terms of basic necessities and some degree of comfort, but where it becomes a passion, whatever is coming out in the market, I must have it. Whatever others have done, I must do it. And this becomes the cycle in which a person lives. Then this is nowhere close to what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. إِنَّ الْبَزَازَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. This is part of also the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this way, all the various things, there are so many details regarding which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught. The crux of all this is that we have to come, we have to learn the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to bring his way of life into our life. This uswa hasana. In one ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Part of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is part of his life. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Indeed, a Rasul has come to you from among you. And now what is his sunnah? What is this special aspect about him? عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. That whatever causes you difficulty is very, very hard upon him. Something that causes you difficulty is very hard upon him. Like that child, if the child is sick, the mother is more sick than the child. If the child can't sleep, if the child is restless, the mother is more restless than the child. More than a mother can ever love her child was the love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for his ummah. A very famous hadith which I recall discussing on many occasions previously, but it's something which we should always keep in the front of our minds. Where that occasion where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very happy and taking advantage of the opportunity, she says, make dua for me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua for her. Allahumma ighfir li Aisha ma taqaddama min dhanbiha wa ma ta'akhkhar wa ma asarrat wa ma a'lanat. Oh Allah, forgive all the shortcomings of Aisha radiallahu anha. Whatever might have happened in the past or in the future, openly, secretly, whatever shortcomings she may have, forgive it. Now to us this is just a dua. But those who know what is the value of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the value of the dua for maghfirat, that if somebody receives maghfirat from Allah ta'ala, then what is he short of? She becomes so happy at this dua that as a result of that joy, she can't contain the joy. Her head comes right down to her lap. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees this and he asks her, Ayasurruki du'a'i ya Aisha? That has my dua made you happy? Does it make you happy, O Aisha? So she says, yes, why not? What a wonderful dua. The Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala making such a beautiful dua for me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, innaha la da'wati li ummati ba'da kulli salatin. That this is the dua I make for my ummah after every salah. So that Nabi who remembered us after every salah, and not only after every salah, in between it all the times also. Which mother can have more love for her child than the love that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had with his ummah? So this is what Allah Ta'ala is speaking about here. That whatever is of any source of difficulty to the ummah, this is very hard upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this is something that we have to judge ourselves on. That the ummah is facing different situations, how does this affect us? Does it affect us to the extent that sometimes we at least even make dua for them? Raise our hands in our private moments, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to ease the plight of the ummah. Does it bring us to one step further that sometimes we make 2 rakat salatul haja at least? Alhamdulillah, every believer, every mu'min as a result of the iman in his heart does feel something, undoubtedly. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be restless on this. And what can be more greater pain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than seeing some person heading towards the fire of Jahannam? So, does this move us? That we see the laws of Allah Ta'ala being trampled around us, the way of life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being trampled around us. Does it bring us to the point where we at least cry for ourselves? This is what the next word says, Harisun alaykum. He is haris upon the ummah. Haris is where a person has the ultimate feeling, the ultimate need. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this greatest desire of good for the ummah. What is the level of our desire for good for the ummah? And matching that to some extent, some effort in that regard. This uswa, Qazi Salahullah Panipati Rahimahullah, in the very famous tafsir Mazhari, in the tafsir of this ayat, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, in the various different interpretations, he says, one of the things, تَنْصُرُونَ دِينَ اللَّهِ كَمَا هُوَ يَنْصُرُ. That part of this uswa is also that you assist the deen of Allah Ta'ala as he assists the deen of Allah. وَتَصْبِرُونَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكُمْ كَمَا هُوَ يَصْبِرُ. And you also patiently bear anything that comes in your path like he patiently bears it. It's also part of the uswa. It's also part of the sunnah. So all these various different aspects of the life of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, pertaining to the inner self, pertaining to the outer self also. The person is not content that I just have a car to drive in, but outside is completely dented and scratched and everything is looking in state. So he wants its pick and span shining. Whereas the engine is perfect, it will go as fast as any other car. But he doesn't want to drive it till it's sorted out. So the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inside is also important, outside is also important. Both is important. And what is inside, that will reflect outside also. So how we will bring all this, it requires that we learn about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We make his remembrance part of our life with the daily recitation of Durood Sharif. At least 100 times daily we should recite Durood Sharif. And the shortest form of Durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shortest form of Durood. If one counts, takes a little bit of small little exercise, reciting 100 times Durood Sharif won't take 2-3 minutes or so. Nicely, properly, 3 minutes it might take to recite 100 times. But then if a person counts all those free moments in between, person is driving home, coming back, coming to work, coming to the masjid, if we accustom our tongue to the recitation of Durood Sharif, we are coming to the masjid, we recite, perform our sunnah salah, and now there's 5 minutes, sometimes 7 minutes, sometimes 3 minutes left for the first to start. Often many would just be, we'll be just sitting, we'll be looking left and right sometimes, or sometimes just sitting and thinking, okay, what else I have to do when I get back to the shop? But those few minutes, while we are in the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we engage our tongue in the recitation of Durood Sharif. Now and then, now and again, we keep our tongue moist with Durood Sharif. We will see what rahmat and barakah comes. And the first favor we do with Durood Sharif is to ourselves. Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi biha ashara. The one who recites one Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala sends 10 blessings upon him. So the biggest favor we are doing is to ourselves. But then we will also get the closeness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna awla al-nasi bi yawm al-qiyamah, أكثرهم علي صلاة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that the closest person to them on the day of Qiyamah will be the one who recites the greatest amount of Durood upon. So this is in very brief words what is expected from these gatherings, that we come with this intention, we speak with this intention, we listen with this intention, that how we can get closer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How we can get closer to his life, to his way of life. And by this, how can we get the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, get the mercies of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And how can we be raised as a result with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. So for this we have to make an effort on our iman, as we discussed, that the strength of iman to that extent will become, this uswa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become beloved to us. Alhamdulillah, these efforts that are taking place, Jamaat that is here, all these daily efforts that take place in the masjid, the talim, whether it's the gush that takes place in the week, all the efforts in this regard is for the same purpose and object, strengthening of this iman. That when this reality of iman will come, then this uswa will come with it. Then we will be able to make an effort for the deen of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how we can make this a part of our lives, we have to start now taking one step at a time. Get ourselves involved in the various activities of deen, and inshallah, step for step, Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, that this uswa becomes more beloved to us than everything else in life. Following in the footsteps of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes the greatest aspiration of our lives. This is at least the first step, that deep down in our hearts, we should have this desire. Ya Allah, I'm not doing many of these things. This is my weakness. Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq. I want to do it. It's my weakness, I'm not doing it. The person who has this cry deep down in his heart to Allah Ta'ala will certainly grant it to him something. Yes, it's our weakness. We are insan, we are human being. We have numerous weaknesses. Which insan is perfect? Somebody is perhaps more little bit more correct outside. Somebody is more correct inside. No, something that is not correct, nothing of that nature can be condoned. But nobody knows whose maqam is what by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nobody can judge anybody else. Yes, what Allah ta'ala has forbidden, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden, that is wrong. But despite that, nobody has the right to judge anybody. We have to be constantly looking out within ourselves. And everyone has to have that cry, Ya Allah, make me yours. Ya Allah, make me a true lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make me a true follower of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And provided that this cry is there, and together with this cry, we take one step, move a little bit forward. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will rush towards us. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Grant us the true love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Grant us his ittiba and enable us to follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in every aspect of our lives. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala use us to serve the deen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillah.